This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. 49ers Plus Minus recorded right minutes after the Rams lose to the Detroit Lions in a rock'em sock'em playoff game. But that was just, to me, an illustration of both games. You got Dallas losing to, you know, unbelievably losing to Green Bay at home. It's the value of the bye, Barros, right? Matt Barros here with me. Just, this is why you get the bye. Not only do you avoid, you know, the bruises and the battering that both teams gave each other in that Rams-Lions game, and whoever comes out of it, you know, Lions come out of it, I'm sure they're going to be banged up. There's going to be guys who are not 100% for their next game. They will now play host the winner of the 4-5 game Monday night, Tampa Bay-Philly. But also you avoid, like, the Cowboys coming out totally flat. I mean, I think the 49ers are better than the Cowboys. I think they've proven that. But you can come out flat. Like, you never know. It's just another chance to get, you know, to blow it is what it is. The Cowboys always seem to take that chance, take that opportunity. But this is the bye, right? As Kyle Shanahan, the rest of the team, just sitting there watching this on the couches, this is what you earn when you get that, when you get that first round bye.
Yeah, you eliminate one third of all the vagaries that can hit hit a team. So I'm sure the 49ers were as surprised as everybody else to see the Packers win that game. Even the Packers were not a good team. I mean, they were a good team, but nothing beyond that in the regular season. And they've sort of performed a mini 49ers, what the 49ers did a couple of seasons ago, where they had to win their last few games in order to get in. And maybe that's what the difference was, is that they had to win those last three regular season games. They were in playoff mode starting in week 16, and the Cowboys always sort of knew, they didn't know that they were going to win the division, but they always sort of knew that they were going to get in. So it makes it an interesting first round matchup for the 49ers. I was assigned to do a, you know, what are the 49ers' flaws? What can their first round opponent sort of exploit and take advantage of? And I had it, you know, in mind that it was going to be the Rams or the Eagles or the Buccaneers. And just looking at the Packers, obviously they had a really sensational game today. But they haven't been a great team all season long. So that kind of story is more difficult to do. But I think there are some areas that, you know, as you said, if one team is still hot, the Packers, and one team comes out flat, the 49ers could have some difficulty. I'm not predicting that. I think this is going to be a 49ers win and probably an emphatic win. But if it did go wrong, Jordan Love, that sort of no-name receiving crew, which has a lot of youngsters, but guys who produced this year, that would probably be where it came from.
Yeah, I don't want to – I've said this a few times. I don't want to get aggregated here, but I don't think the Packers would be high on the 49ers list of teams they don't want to see in the playoffs. I'm not saying that, you know, they were afraid of anybody. And I think you and I both put the Rams at the top of that list. And, you know, I don't think the 49ers would have lost to the Rams. But with that quarterback and Puka Nacua doing that stuff and Aaron Donald, like, there are things that the 49ers do not like playing the Rams. And the Packers – I know a lot of it was junk yardage at the end, but you know how many yards they gave up to the Cowboys in a big win over the Cowboys?
Over
500.
Yeah.
It's like 510. Again, a lot of that was junk yardages, but guys were open. Like, it was not like they were not like getting a big rush on deck. You know, they were stopping the run mainly, but the Cowboys kind of gave up on the run. It was like a soft defense. I just like, that's not the kind of, that's not like the Cleveland Browns come stomping through and you got to watch out 49ers or Baltimore Ravens. They're going to screw you up with a lot of different talent over the middle. I don't feel that with the Packers. Maybe we'll look really stupid, but like if the 49ers can get in trouble against the Packers, it's that Jordan Love just goes crazy against the defense. And again, I don't know if that's going to happen either. It is not a bad matchup for the 49ers. In any way, you kind of look at what screws them up. I would think a big pass rush. I would think fast linebackers. And I would think a defense that can, you know, mess around with Brock Purdy. And, man, I do not see those in the Green Bay Packers. I mean, we'll have to come up with reasons, and I'm sure we'll find them. But – they haven't played Jordan Love, have they? I don't remember a Jordan Love game.
No, they haven't played him yet, no.
Yep, and they played Rodgers twice 2 years ago, lost to him on that last second ridiculous, you know, two throws, one over Fred Warner, kicking the field goal, and then they beat them in Green Bay in the playoffs when, guess what, the Packers were the number one seed and the 49ers were that hot team coming up. So I guess you can kind of drum up some interest in kind of that comparison, but I don't know. Jordan Love, maybe, you know, hey, Jordan Love looked good. I mean, what's your thoughts on, like, is Love a guy that should scare the 49ers a little bit?
Well, first I should note that as we were talking, the time of the game was announced. It's going to be 5 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. The late game. Obviously the 49ers have the big advantage in rest here. Packers having played today, they have a short week to prepare for this one. Now, they did take out their starters, and then they had to put them back in, some of them.
I do not get that one. That was, like, that's not regular season, Matt LaFleur. It's like, you do not do that. You don't take out your starters in the middle of the fourth quarter in a playoff game. What are you doing?
Right.
You have to put them back in. Like, that can't help.
He was starting to think about the 49ers and all the kind of the rest disparity between the two teams. But yeah, that was awkward. I mean, any game that's so out of hand like that, the whole second half is just so disjointed. And you would think that, the team that's leading gets, basically a half game break, but it doesn't always work out like that. I mean, the 49ers had that situation in Detroit in their opener a couple of years ago, where they got out to a big lead, took all their starters out, and had to put them back in the game. And they ended up getting some guys injured in that one because of it. So, sort of a weird dynamic. But I'm sure that the Packers are going to be full of adrenaline and, this rest versus rust debate is going to probably be a big storyline during the week. But I agree with you as far as the linebackers. I just feel like there's a big we're witnessing a linebacker decline overall in the NFL right now. And maybe it's hard for 49ers fans to see because they're one of the few teams with good linebackers. And I think the Ravens have good linebackers. Maybe there's a couple of other teams out there. But, boy, the 49ers just take advantage. If you got a soft underbelly on defense, Kyle Shanahan is going to take advantage of it. And they've got the weapons to do it. They've got the quarterback to do it. The Packers linebackers are fine. They're young. They don't stand out in very many ways. So I think that that's going to be, you know, when Kyle Shanahan starts to sort of dissect this defense that he's facing, that's going to be where he focuses and where he's going to try to take advantage in this game.
How about cover the freaking tight end, Green Bay? It was unbelievable, running right past the tight end every time at the goal line. They're throwing it to Jake Ferguson on this play, ladies and gentlemen, and Rashawn Gary would have run right past him trying to bite on the play fake. And the guy goes for three touchdowns, like 153 yards. I think George Kittle's eyes had to like pop open when he saw that stuff. And I just don't think I don't even know who they would put on Kittle. There's some teams that just don't have those guys. And you could say, like, okay, then if they're going to dedicate somebody to Kittle, then guess what? Number 23 might be open a lot, or number 19. You just see that. And again, you know, a turnover here or there, a blown play on defense. Certainly could be a close game. You know, I think you and I are both saying there's a real chance of a close game, but the odds are, I think the 49ers open is nine and a half point favorites.
Yeah, 9.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, how could it be? I mean, it feels like a double digit victory. Feels like a victory where they get out to that Kyle Shanahan early lead, and you know, get a turnover, and it's, you know, 31-10 and a 31-13. Late in the fourth quarter. And maybe then Kyle Shanahan takes out the defensive starters, but he might not after watching that. We might never do that again. Let's talk about quarterbacks. I think we watched, you know, CJ Stroud look real good in his playoff game. We've seen other quarterbacks, Tua in the cold, but Mahomes looked really good. The playoffs are in large part these days about quarterbacking. At least be good. Don't be terrible. I think Goff was just good enough tonight. I think Love was great. Dak Prescott was not good. Where do you think Purdy's going to fall into that conversation, Barros? Do you think that's an issue going into the playoffs, or do you think that the two wins last season kind of elevate him over that kind of conversation?
Yeah, I remember the opener against Seattle last year. He wasn't very good at the beginning of that game. I think he was 9 of 19. And remember, the Seahawks, a team that they had handled pretty easily in the regular season, took an early lead in that game. And so, it was a lopsided victory at the end of the game. Purdy had over 300 yards. He had three touchdowns. The 49ers ran away with it in the second half. But Purdy wasn't sensational to begin that game. That game had weather. We could have weather this weekend. Purdy hasn't been great in the rain, hasn't had a lot of opportunities, but, you know, the game in Cleveland stands out because he just, it was that in combination with no Deebo Samuel, in combination with the Browns defense really playing some of its best ball of the season, and Purdy didn't play well. So I'm not saying that even if he's kind of average Brock Purdy, I still think that the 49ers win this game. And even if he kind of struggles, quote unquote, struggles to begin the game, that doesn't mean that he can't have a good game overall, because that's what happened last year. But I do think that Jordan Love was the story of the Packers-Cowboys game. He just looked really natural out there, was not intimidated. The Cowboys didn't put a lot of pressure on him. And, he made some, I thought they were making Aaron Rodgers comparisons during the broadcast. I was seeing some Patrick Mahomes stuff, too, just sort of off balance, always going to the right spot with the ball. The touchdown that he threw, I guess it was towards the end of the second quarter, the first one to Dobbs, where he's sort of throwing off of his back foot. I mean, that was just a brilliant throw. I mean, arm talent, going to the right spot, able to go off schedule, all that stuff in one play. So, I mean, he's talented for sure. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to overcome a very talented 49ers team.
They couldn't beat the 49ers. I know it's different players maybe, but it was same coach with Aaron Rodgers at home at snowbound Lambeau with the 49ers on a short week. It's like, if you weren't going to beat the 49ers in the playoffs then, and that's Matt LaFleur, it's Kyle Shanahan. Hard to see how
they had Robbie Gould back then.
Robbie Gould, yeah. They had Jordan Willis knock that ball around. It just doesn't feel like a matchup again. You know, they're going to have to take this very seriously. A screw up or two, obviously, you know, a missed field goal, whatever. But it does not feel like it does feel like this set up very nicely. 49ers get to bye and then get an opponent in the divisional round that isn't going to attack them in certain areas that they might be exposed. And you get the Rams out of there. And you get the Cowboys out of there. I don't think either one of them was going to beat the 49ers, but they were tough enough teams. Anything else strike you from today or the last few days of playoffs there, Barris?
Yeah, I mean, the ease with which the Packers were running the ball in the second half, I mean, that's what surprised me the most. That and maybe it was a Dallas defensive issue. I didn't think that the Packers could run the ball that efficiently. I think it's notable. I don't know if this is going to make a huge difference, but Cleveland Farrell is not going to play in this game. He's been a starter for 17 games. He's been a starter for a reason. They like him on base downs. They like him as a run defender. He knows, the angles to take, all that stuff. Chase Young goes into that role with Farrell out. He's a newcomer. I mean, Nick Bosa talked about that this week, is that those guys have to be on their P's and Q's because it's just not haphazard, rushing from the DN spot. There are certain angles that they're trying to take so that the linebackers know what to do, this, that, and the other. So that's something that Chase Young is going to have to really, get down. And I'm not sure he has to this point. Yeah. And that's the reason. I mean, I think Chase Young is easily the more talented of the two guys, Chase Young versus Cleveland Farrell. But Farrell's been the starter, and Farrell usually gets the base down plays. And that's been the whole second half of the season, which tells me that they still don't fully trust Young to do that job. And maybe that's too much to ask for somebody who's coming in midseason. But that, I mean, again, I'm having kind of strained to find ways that the Packers can take advantage of the 49ers, but that might be one of them since we just haven't seen it to this point this season.
Yeah, Love's not really a scrambler. I mean, I'm sure he can move around a little bit. He can pick up a first down for you, but he's not going to be the guy running seven times for 50 yards and two touchdowns. And we saw what Lamar Jackson could do to them. But I don't think it's going to be one of those, let's just keep him in the pocket. They're going to try to get him, right? You got to try to get to this guy because he's dangerous throwing the ball downfield. Again, I don't think those receivers are that great. But Dobbs got open, he got open over the middle. If you let him open, that quarterback can find these guys. I just think this is going to be just go out, go get him. Go get this guy like he's Stafford. He's probably can move around more than Stafford, but I don't know. He can move around more than Dak. My God, did you see how slow Dak looked? Oh, my. He couldn't get around. He was slow as hell. Good Lord. It happened. Where these seasons wear you down in the NFL. But I don't think that this is going to be like, oh, my God, you didn't keep him contained, and now you just gave up 17 yards to Jordan Love. Maybe it'll happen once, but – this is not a Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, kind of thing. This is a little bit different than that. Beyond that, I don't think the Packers are going to run on him. And I know there's been some concern. Armstead is back, right? Armstead is playing in this game. Is that correct?
I mean, he's practicing. It's his intent to play in this game. He could easily have a setback and not play. But that's the plan, that he's back. Deshaun Gibson, they sat a lot of their 30-year-olds in that finale against the Rams. And, we're talking about the bye week and the benefits. I think that's the real benefit. I'm not sure, how well a Deshaun Gibson in his mid-30s would have been playing at the end of the season if he hasn't, had this rest period that he's getting right now. I mean, I think this is a real gift for some of these guys. John Feliciano in his mid-30s, dealing with a back issue, probably something he could have sort of grinded his way through, but, he wouldn't have been at the top of his game. George Kittle, 30 years old, he gets the same benefit. I just think that, this is all sort of on paper right now, but it makes a ton of sense that these guys get that little bit of rejuvenation that, you know, 2 weeks off gives you. And it just makes it that much easier to get through the playoffs. And, you know, it could backfire. They could come out flat. It could be just way too much time off. I mean, these are all possible storylines that we're talking about, but I don't think so. I think that they're going to really kind of have intense practices this week, kind of make that rest work for them. And I think they're going to come out well against the Packers.
I mentioned this before. This is the way the Patriots did it for many years of the Brady dynasty. Notice I call them the Brady dynasty, not the Belichick dynasty. It's the Brady dynasty in my mind, since it went away once he left. You get the tops, you know, it happened with the Patriots, even when they got the two seed sometimes. You get that Saturday divisional where you get the bye. You get the Saturday – back when the two used to get a bye also with the one. Now it's just the one. But you get that Saturday divisional round game. So you've been off. You're usually often playing a team on a short week because they played the Sunday before often. And then you have the extra day if you win that game to play the championship – conference championship game. It's just – and Josh DeBow ran out the numbers. It's like 7 of the 9 times that the Patriots got that schedule, which is a lot of times in 20 years, they got to the Super Bowl. And they obviously won a Super Bowl 6 times. Like, this is 6 times total. I don't know how many of those 7 times they won 6, but they won a lot of Super Bowls. This is what teams take advantage of. You earn this slot. You take advantage of it. You're the fresher team. And you get teams that are tired. They're traveling also. You're not traveling. It's all these things you can take advantage of. Again, the 49ers traveled to Green Bay on a short week and beat the Packers 2 years ago. So that can happen. But the way they're set up, we know how they are. Physical, beat you up, pound you down, beat you in the third and fourth quarters. It's set up for them. Now, not to say there's no excuses for not getting the Super Bowl, but we've been saying that for a while. This really is set up for them. This is like, you want to – 2019 was a pretty nice setup. This is just as good as 2019, or maybe even better.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I think there are some Patriots comparisons to this team. I mean, it's an older team, one of the older teams in the league. They're going to be playing one of the youngest teams in the league. And, you know, good for the Packers for drafting well over the last couple of years, you know, with the exception being the quarterback. But the quarterback, who's 24, you know, carries himself and prepares himself like he's, you know, going on 40. So even that kind of youth, which the 49ers have totally taken advantage of, and we've talked about that and how the salary cap is structured around Brock Purdy's ultra cheap contract. But, you know, it's just a kind of, you know, we can't talk enough about the benefits that Brock Purdy brings this team, because he's like having a 35-year-old quarterback running the show on a you know, barely drafted rookie's salary. So that's why the 49ers have the talented roster, the most talented roster in the league right now, is because of Brock Purdy.
And he kind of acts like he's still the backup, right? I mean, he walks around the locker room like he's, hey, I'm just the guy, right? I'm just another player. Now, Jimmy did that too. I want to play. Jimmy really did that too. And I don't think Trey had air. I'm not trying to compare him. I'm just saying, for a guy who's now as established as he is, Pro Bowl quarterback, you know, a guy who has won a lot of games in a short time, He does not have that, like, hey, guys, I'm the man. I'm the dude here. He definitely does not. I don't know that he could. I don't know if he's capable of it. I think I was telling somebody, like, what was it? I was joking with Purdy about trying to talk to him one time. I go, I couldn't do it because you guys kept losing. He's like, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I mentioned a friend of his. I go, I think that was authentic. He goes, oh, no, that's who he is. He really was sorry that they were losing and you couldn't do your story about it. It was very different. I'm sure there are other quarterbacks who act like that, but not many that I've dealt with like that. So a lot of different little comparisons. I'm going to spring this on you now because it just popped in my head. We don't have to do it, but I don't know when they're going to announce their team awards. I guess after the season now, and they're not going to do it during the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they do it, whatever that last week is. Yeah.
Well, they don't know when that last week is.
Well, I mean, they'll have it ready to go, but.
But they're, if they lose, it's over. So anyway, who would you vote for? Who would you pick as the team MVP? Like what they call that, the Bill Walsh Award team MVP?
Yeah, they have the Bill Walsh Award, which is voted on by the coaches. And then you've got the Len Eshmont Award, which is voted on by the players. And I don't know whether this is engineered, but it's rarely the same person. I would vote. I would vote for Purdy for all the reasons that I just said. Mm-hmm. He's just such a surprise. I mean, Christian McCaffrey has had a sensational year, fantastic year. But I don't want to say you expected that year. He's had big years like that in the past. He's a Heisman Trophy, finalist. Had the 1,000 season in Carolina in 2019. You expected him to do that, have this type of year, or it's not a big surprise. Purdy being as consistent, as mature as he is, that's a surprise. I forget what he finished in terms of passing yards, but it's top five, even while sitting out that last game. That's just impressive. Over 4,000 for the first time since Jeff Garcia. That's who I would pick, but there are a lot of guys that, merit consideration. Fred Warner always sort of gets overlooked, but I mean, he's the guy that kind of keeps things stirring. I mean, if this team is going to be sharp to open the playoffs, a big, part of that is going to be Fred Warner, what he does in the locker room, what he does at practice. I mean, he was getting under, his teammate's skin in the throwaway practices last week during the bye. I mean, both Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle came up to the podium, and unprompted, they said, "Oh yeah, the offense won the practice today." Like really, sort of like they would have said on August 3rd.
Yep.
During a chippy training camp practice, it was that chippy in this Thursday throwaway practice during the bye week because Fred Warner had gone around the locker room before practice. What he called planting seeds, like talking smack to these guys before they even went out there. So he made sure that they were upset and antagonistic and all those things that, the great 49ers teams from the 1980s, Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana used to do to each other to make sure that they were sharp, to make sure that their practices were harder than the games that they played.
You know what's really interesting? Ronnie, it sounds so much like Ronnie. Ronnie never won a Len Eshmont Award. That is like, and I've asked people about that. Goes, yeah, because he pissed people off. Like they loved him. They knew they needed him, but he pissed them the hell off. So they didn't vote for him in Len Eshmont, which is like B-Watt by Bryant Young. Like that's the guy. You know, like, that was just the epitome of somebody that people would vote for that award. That's what I was gonna say. Christian McCaffrey, I think, wins the player vote, the Eshmont probably. And I could see either Warner or Purdy for the coaches vote. Trent, then probably not. He missed some games. Kittle could always be it, but I'd say McCaffrey for Eshmont. God, the guy plays so hard in practice, so hard every game. It's the kind of thing that players, I think, look to like that guy, my God. And they changed who they were as a team, just him being on the field. and I could see Purdy or Warner for the coaches award. Remember that weird, the year they won the Super Bowl with Harbaugh, Alden Smith won the coaches award. I go, that's the guy who I wouldn't think would win the coaches award. Like they would like, he's a great player, but like he drove them crazy. So that's why he wouldn't win the coaches award. But oh, well, people do strange things. Would Kaepernick win the, I can't even remember who won the
Kaepernick Eschmont. Won the Eschmont in 16, which was 16, the protest year.
Yeah. He did not win it before that. So I don't know who won it. We'll have to check that who won in the 2012. And Nick, I want to mention this because Nick Bosa, I saw, won the Niver for cooperation with the media, which I love that pick. Nick has been really good and really thoughtful. Do you think that he was struck by that, him getting in that award?
Yeah, it seemed like he was a little bit surprised. In those moments, you sort of say what is on your mind. And his kind of reaction was, oh, I try not to say too much because I don't want to get in trouble, which is to say that he's been sort of holding back to us a little bit and seemed to be sort of apologizing for not being quite as open as maybe he wants to be. But even if he's kind of restraining himself, he's got a governor on himself. He still is interesting. And I'll tell you, I'm the one that tallied up those votes. It wasn't close between him and the second place finisher, who was George Kittle. And then the third place finisher was Fred Warner, who had one more point than Charvarius Ward. So some really good talkers in that locker room, those first four guys. The first three are all got votes from me, maybe not in that particular order. Actually, it was that order. So I must have a lot of sway inside the media room because that's exactly how everybody ended up voting.
If the players took a vote on most respected media person, you know,
there you go.
If it's tallied by Barrows, it would end up that way, of course. But yeah, so they've got Trent Williams. Isn't Trent Williams last year's winner? Or I think he was.
He won it 2 years in a row, not last year. Okay. I think Juszczyk won it last year. Mm. But Trent won it the 2 years before that. The controversy is that poor George Kittle keeps coming in second place. And I'm not sure whether he's caught wind of this yet, but he's always up there, but never quite gets the highest honor. Kittle was fantastic on Thursday. All the guys that came to the podium, which were, those guys that I just mentioned and Brandon Ayuk, and each of them was really good. And that just kind of solidifies for me that, this team was, is locked in and it was saying all the right things. They're doing all the right things. It would be a big surprise if they came out flat on Saturday against the Packers.
I just think Bosa is like a big gum, a go-to guy for perspective. Trent obviously is, there's other guys, but like it's the best guys who aren't worried, other than what he said, like he doesn't want to get in trouble. But like what's Kyle going to say? You shouldn't have said that. Like you're Nick fucking Bosa, right? So, who have a point to make, whose voice matters because they're so good. Like and Bosa's really emerged as somebody not just a team spokesman in the in the kind of declarative word, but just like what he says matters. And I think he's growing into that understanding that both in the, he gives it the talk to the team on Saturday night. There's a reason for that. And I think he's kind of proud of that. He probably won't say that, but he is proud that he's picked to do that. And also to the media, not that he's making, statements that he thinks everyone has to take dictation for, but I think he does feel like what he says matters. And I like, that being recognized because he is very helpful to us when we're trying to get a sense of the team. And, he came from a place where he didn't really want to talk to us that much as a rookie, right? That wasn't one of his things. He didn't dislike it, but he would rather not do it if he could. So all good with that. All right, Barrows, anything else you want to say to wrap up this post-matchup for the divisional round podcast episode?
No, only that are we going to have another one this week before the game?
I think we should. I think we should. Just get a feel for the atmosphere. Now it's a Saturday game, so we have one less day to do it. But yeah, we could do something. We'll get a push towards what this game might feel like, but much more maybe Thursday or Friday. Let's do something for Thursday or Friday. So especially no travel. That helps a lot, too. So we're not losing a day traveling anywhere. But, folks, you will get another 49ers plus minus. Why not? It's the playoffs. We better do something. We'll come up
with bonus coverage here. It's the playoffs.
Bonus coverage. Get the sense of the field. I love that. Warner getting the edge on people, getting people a little edgy. That's so 49ers. It is so training camp 49ers. That is a very interesting little anecdote there. Sometimes you bring it. Sometimes you can't. That's why you get all those votes.
And, you know, look what they did coming out of training camp. They thumped the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've been good, and we've gone over this. They've been good after rest periods. They've been good after buys and kind of in run-ups to games. I guess maybe the Ravens game is the exception to that. It was a bit of a long week.
That was their sixth straight game, I think, right? I mean, that's the other sign maybe of an older team, is that they're really great when they got rest, and then when they play five, six, seven games in a row, we saw what happened. Cleveland was their sixth in a row, and since the Vikings were their seventh in a row, and Cincinnati was their eighth in a row, then they get a break and then play great at Jacksonville, et cetera, et cetera. And then Baltimore was their sixth in a row. Like, it does kind of have the cycles of a team that kind of needs to get its energy going. And then it got this big break here, and we'll see. Then there's only got three games. What? One, two, three? Three games left that they go 3-0. They're going to be a parade in San Francisco after that.
Yeah, they can be tired for the parade.
We're all going to be tired for the parade. All right, guys, that's the show for today. Thank you, Barros.
All right, see you soon.